Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it. Let me state this plainly, because the mainstream financial media will not. The United States stock market is the most overvalued, most overleveraged, and most dangerously concentrated market in the history of recorded finance. Not one of the most, the most. And the conditions that created it were not accidental. They were manufactured deliberately, systematically, and at enormous cost to everyone who doesn't own a brokerage account. The Fed's 25-year confession. Start with the Federal Reserve. Since 2001, the federal funds rate has been negative in real terms, meaning below the rate of inflation, 77% of the time. 77%. For nearly a quarter century, the Fed has been paying borrowers to take risk. It has made saving punitive and speculation rational. Every asset bubble of the modern era, dot-com, housing, and now the triumvirate of bubbles, that's credit, real estate, and equities, traces its DNA directly back to that single catastrophic policy choice: negative real borrowing costs. Free money does not create wealth. It creates the illusion of wealth, and illusions eventually shatter. This one is no different. What has two decades of negative real rates produced? A stock market trading at valuations reached only once before in American history, at the peak of the dot-com mania, with a CAPE ratio near 42 and market capitalization approaching 237% of GDP, which has never before even been close to been imagined, even at the dot-com peak. Dot-com peak, we saw valuations at about 135, 140% of GDP. This is leaps and bounds higher. Hence why I say this is the most overvalued stock market ever. But overvaluation alone does not cause a crash. Overvaluation combined with leverage does. And the leverage in this market has never been more extreme. Borrowed money equals borrowed time, and that's what we're on. U.S. margin debt just hit a record $1.42 trillion, up $495 billion, or 54% in a single year. Investors simultaneously hold a record allocation to equities as a percentage of total assets and a record low level of cash. Read those two factors together carefully. Listen to them carefully. And then read them when I put this piece out as a commentary. American investors are all in on margin at the most expensive market in history. That's not a recipe for a mild correction. That is a recipe for a cascade. When prices begin to fall, and they will, margin calls will force selling, which drive prices lower, which will trigger more margin calls. This is not speculation, it's arithmetic. And who owns this bubble? The question matters enormously because the answer exposes the full moral indictment of Fed policy. The top 1% of earners own more than 50% of all U.S. equities and mutual funds. The top 10% own 87% of all stocks. The bottom 50% of Americans, the bottom half of Americans, of wage earners, the people the Federal Reserve will never admit it failed, hold 1% of stocks. The Fed's money printing did not lift all boats. It lifted yachts. The wealth gap has never been wider. And the instrument of that inequality was a printing press operated in the name of the public good. South Korea is the preview. If you think this is a uniquely American pathology, look at South Korea, because South Korea is a prologue of what's going to happen. The Korean market, one of the twin epicenters of the global AI investment mania alongside the US, did something extraordinary last week. It was up 3%, then down 12%, and then closed down 6% in a single trading session. An entire nation stock exchange is trading like a meme stock. That should terrify even serious investors because it reveals exactly what happens when leverage unwinds at scale. By May, total investors' debt in South Korea, margin loans plus supplemental borrowing, hit a record 60 trillion won, roughly $41 billion. Much of that leverage concentrated in a single spectacular bet. Leveraged single stock ETFs tracking Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix. The two names that together constitute more than half of the KOSPI's entire index. Outstanding positions in these products alone reached 29.2 trillion won, nearly $20 billion. Then the bubble popped. The KOSPI fell nearly 45% from its June record high in a matter of weeks. More than 1.2 million retail accounts received margin calls. Roughly 350,000 were forcibly liquidated. Families, savings, gone. This is not a cautionary tale from some distant market far, far away. This is the script. Much the same leverage, concentration, and euphoria exist here, at larger scale in a larger market, in the world's reserve currency. With a larger margin debt figure and a far larger potential for damage on a global scale. When the U.S. credit bubble breaks, and credit bubbles always break, it will not stop at equities. It will move through real estate, through the banking system, through the household balance sheet as well. The cascade that began in Seoul will look, in retrospect, like the warning shot that everyone ignored and just said, oh, what an idiosyncratic event. I don't think that could ever happen here. But it will. Pento Portfolio Strategies is not permanently bearish with our investment strategy. What we have been very bearish on is our government's proclivity for debt, money printing, interest rate repression, and asset bubble creation. We have our eyes myopically focus on the credit market because that is where the early warning signs will be for the next stock market catastrophe. That's where they're going to emanate from. In our view, the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model is the best tool to determine when the danger arrives and gives you one of the best opportunities to both protect and profit from the ultimate great reconciliation of asset prices. Your retirement's health requires you measure and map the changes of inflation and growth. Because when the recession, not if, when the recession arrives, and we have not outlawed recessions, and we have not abrogated the business cycle, when a recession arrives, the market usually drops between 30 and 50%. This will by no means be the exception. It's going to be probably much worse. It's my charge to make sure that we are not only unscathed, but are in a position to profit from the great reconciliation of asset prices. But for now, we remain comfortably ensconced in sector three, spinning off dividends into the portfolio with the protection of gold, gold miners, and some hedges. But when things change, and they will, my clients will be the first to know.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.